Blog Talk Radio.
To promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now with Staples, spend $50 or more on print and marketing services and get $5 off your next in-store purchase.
Now my business is blossoming and I'm spending less green.
Exclusions apply. In-store only. End 6/23/18.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And another day's passed, another lesson to start on tunnel vision versus panoramic vision. I pray that your day has been a day of blessing and fulfillment, a day of service to someone, a day of prayer for someone, a day that God has stretched your faith. Thank you for being so faithful to this broadcast. Thank you for being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for both you and me. We are going to have another wonderful time walking through the pages of the Bible, that it would breathe upon our hearts, that it would clear our mind, and that we will have the faith the size of a mustard seed that stretches to a large tree concerning how to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, how to keep the gospel embedded in your heart, that your focus will be tunnel vision and not panoramic vision. But before we start this second part of this series, again, I've asked our sister in Christ, Shirley, to open our lesson up in prayer before we, as a prayer of worship to God before we start. So if you would bow your heads with her, and as we touch and agree concerning our prayer and time to reflect on God and all of his majesty. And as Shirley prays, just rest your mind and your heart on him. So Shirley, thank you again for being with us, as you are faithful to this broadcast. Not only that, faithful in your prayer ministry. So if you could, sister, go ahead and pray as we bow with you in prayer. Amen.
We're gathered here in your name, Father, to glorify your holy name, Lord God, and get everything that you have for us, Lord. Lord, bless the host, bless our ears, bless our hearts to receive, Lord God. Have your way in our lives today, Lord God. Let us be able to take more of your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the word that's been being taught today, Father God. You alone are worthy to be praised, Lord God. I thank you for the host. The hostess, Lord God, I pray for her, Lord God, that you continue to use her in doing what she's doing, Lord God, Carnita, Lord God, and that you will have your way in life, that it will reach all across America, Lord God, through the end, Lord God, that all people will come to know who you are, Lord God, through the internet, Father God, and through all those that minister the words of God all over the world, Lord God. Have your way, Lord, in the life of your people on today, Father. Touch their heart, touch the lost, Lord God, reach those that are on the internet today, Father God. It's on the broadcast, Lord God. Touch their hearts, Lord God. Bless them, Father God, and their families. Lord God, just have your way on today, Father God. Let your will be done, Father God, on today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Shirley. That was beautiful, as usual. And I tell you, for those of you who have prayed with our sister Shirley, I just encourage you to continue to be in prayer and make prayer a ministry. We have only prayer as our vehicle to communicate with God. And that is lacking in the body of Christ. And I just want us to continue to pray one with another and pray for one another as the body continues to grow and go and continue to spread the gospel across the world. Amen. So we are going to move right into this lesson. And I'm excited about it because, as we know, we've been looking at tunnel vision versus panoramic vision. Now, as we looked at on the part one, the last broadcast, we focused on the first point being focused, of course. We were focusing in on the difference between having tunnel vision in comparison to panoramic vision as far as our focus is concerned. We can have focus in both areas, tunnel and panoramic, but when we focus on panoramic vision, then we see too much, and we have our focus on the things of the world, the leader of the world in different nations. And when we have tunnel vision, our focus is on Jesus Christ himself. Our focus is on God. And that keeps our focus in perspective. And we looked at how focusing in with tunnel vision, we have a shepherd that we keep our eyes on, and that's Jesus Christ. That is God Almighty. And when we are focused on our leaders of the world, then we've lost central focus from God onto man. And so when we look at that, when we looked at that in our last broadcast, we went specifically into areas that helped us realign our focus through tunnel vision and not panoramic vision. Now, I indicated that tunnel vision is the tendency to focus exclusively on a single or limited goal or point of view. And panoramic, of course, gives us more of a visual view of what we're seeing, and it looks as though you have too much to see that causes you to go astray or fall into temptation or focus in on too much and not the tunnel vision that we are to have, and that is exclusively on one single thing or person or goal. So I like to look at it like this. Tunnel vision is like a horse with blinders. And those blinders help the horse from becoming distracted. And it's under submission of the person who's holding the reins of the horse, pulling and tugging on the reins, causing the horse to go to the left or to the right or just continue to go straight. But the horse has blinders on to keep him from getting distracted by things that may be coming alongside the horse, and it won't cause the horse to get afraid or buck off the person that is riding the horse or holding the reins of the horse. So the blinders are very significant for the horse to stay focused, but focus under the command or submission of the person holding the reins of the horse. Now, on the other side of that is the panoramic. And, of course, we know, as defined, it gives you more sight or more things to see, which causes distraction. So now we're going to focus in on our second point on this particular series, part two, and our point for today is faith. So for those of you who take notes, our points in this particular teaching series is point one, focus. Point two, faith. And point three being promise. So now we're going to look at today's point being faith. Now let's think about it this way. Do you have tunnel vision or panoramic vision? Now that's the question for each and every one of us. Now all believers are to remain, and that's the big word right there. All believers are to remain faithful to God. Not the leaders of the world. Our faith remains in Christ Jesus. And how does that happen? It happens in many ways when believers exercise their spiritual gifts. In service to others, devotion and prayer with God, in Bible study and sharing the gospel with others. That's how our faith remains in Christ Jesus, when we start exercising our spiritual gifts. Because remember, it is why we do what we do. He is the reason. Jesus is the reason why we do what we do. Only in Jesus Christ is where our faith should remain. Now, tunnel vision in these areas keep our faith in perspective. That's tunnel vision. Tunnel vision keeps our faith in perspective. On the other hand, panoramic vision, broader scope or vision we see so much more in, panoramic vision causes doubt, insecurities, fear, worry. It even causes depression and stress. And then when all of those things domino, eventually death. So that's the result of having panoramic vision in comparison or versus tunnel vision. And tunnel vision keeps us focused. Now, as I indicated, we're going to look at both of those windows, tunnel and panoramic, but our focus, key word, I like that, our focus is on faith. And the question to you was, do you have tunnel vision or panoramic vision? Now, think about it this way. Faith. If you would write down Romans 10:17, listen to what the scriptures say concerning faith. Romans 10:17. And we're familiar with this particular verse. And it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And in the King James translation, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is how we gain faith. Faith comes by hearing. And who are we to listen to? Who are we to tunnel our vision to? And that is the Word of God. Who is the Word? The Word of Christ. The Word is Christ. And through the Bible, when we read and focus through tunnel vision, then we focus in the very thing that God wants us to be focused in. Now, remember, I indicated that when we remain focused through tunnel vision, we exercise our spiritual gifts. We don't operate in fear. So let's look at it this way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now that we've got that understood, we know that our faith comes by hearing God's voice when He calls on us in our heart to come into Him, that He will come into us. How does that work? That works by salvation. Who is our salvation? Jesus Christ is our salvation. How do I get God into me? By accepting Jesus Christ by faith, believing that He died on the cross by faith, confessing that you are a sinner and that you cannot save yourself by faith, that we are saved by grace. Whose grace? God's grace. And then we are to go and tell somebody, anybody, everybody, that we are now a Christ follower. And then when we tell somebody, we go and we are baptized by submersion of water, because now we have the Holy Spirit inside. That is how God comes inside of us. By faith, we believe. Saved by grace, we receive. The Holy Spirit sits on the throne of our heart, and now He is in us and we are in Him. That is the Holy Spirit commingling with our human spirit. And once we believe by faith and we are buried our sins and we are arise in Christ, we are a new creature, born again. Now, this is faith. You heard God's cry to come into the ark of salvation. You accepted His invitation. Now that you have accepted His invitation, you sit at the banquet table of grace and you eat on the very food that falls from heaven. What is the food referenced as? The very bread of life, the body of Christ. And when we eat the bread of life and we drink the living water, then we become the operating body of Christ. And we exercise our spiritual gifts so that others will come into the ark and enjoy the banquet table of grace, that they would eat the very food that we ate and drink the very water that we drank, the living water and the bread of life. This is the nourishment for the body of Christ. Now, this is keeping it in tunnel vision. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now that we have become a believer in Christ Jesus, we are to exercise, we are to discipline ourselves in order to retain our steadfast, unmovable, unshakable faith. Now, let's look at faith through our panoramic vision. Now, we saw faith in our tunnel vision. Now we're going to see it in panoramic vision. For those who put their faith in man, for those who put their faith in the judicial system, for those who put their faith through the panoramic window. Why? Because they can see much more. And when we see much more, it causes us to stumble. It causes us to stray away. Those who put their faith in leaders of the world, in the judicial system, this is what happens in the president. These things or those things are just mere men. And they take matters in their own hands. And then fear sets in to those who put their faith in the panoramic vision. Fear sets in uncertainties of what's going on in the world, which triggers worry. Worry triggers lost sight, which triggers stress, and it triggers anxiety, depression. It even triggers panic attacks. And then eventually, judgment, death. And when a person puts their faith in all of those things, they eventually die. And then they will be judged. They have lost sight. And when they put their vision through panoramic, then nothing comes out of that other than broken promises. And we'll look at that on our next broadcast, but broken promises, uncertainties, fear, worry, because of what is going on in today's world, in society today, in families today that are destroyed, broken, set apart, dysfunctional, unhappy, and stressed out, backbiting, fighting, and killing one another. That is the panoramic window. That is the window that God sees the whole world. He sees all of the sin, all of the dysfunction going on in every black area. But God has called you and he's called me to stay in tunnel vision. We may have new leaders coming and going, dying and arising. And we may have nations fighting against nations. We have warfare going on from as far as the east is to the west. And when all of that gets into our minds and into our hearts, it causes us to go astray with worry, stress, anxiety, depression, panic attacks, and eventually death. That's putting your faith in the wrong person. Now let's look at faith in Scripture. And our focus is David in this particular teaching track. Yes, King David. But I want us to look at what verses the Scriptures tell us. If you will, write down Lamentations. You can abbreviate it L-A-M, but we're going to look at Lamentations, and we're going to look at Lamentations chapter 3. And Lamentations is in the Old Testament of your Bible. And those are books of the Bible that you don't hear too many people teaching from or preaching from, but all of the scriptures are significant to how we are to live our lives. And as we look at the book of Lamentations, I want us to focus in on how it tells us what we are to do, how we are to respond, how we are to think, how we are to act. Lamentations 3, and we're going to start in verse 23. And it reads this way. Now, I'm going to read this in the NIV translation, and you just follow along with me, starting at 23, verse 23. I'll start with 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That's the key verse. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Now, think about the word faith. Think about your faith. Think about how faith is to be steadfast, focused, tunnel vision on God, not wavering from left to right. It says in these particular verses, because of the Lord's great love for you and me, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and we put our hope in Christ Jesus, and the evidence of things not seen. We wait. We wait on the Lord. We have not seen Jesus, but by faith we believe that he died on that cross, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that his sin was the redemption, the debt that paid for our sin. And because he went into the tomb, our sin was buried in that tomb. And when he got up on that third day morning, hallelujah, we will rise also. And we are alive now, this day, right now, as a new creature born again. So we wait. By faith, we wait until our groom receives his bride. He's coming back for you and me. But our faith stands firm, sure-footed. And this is what he says. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Who can say that? Only those who believe by faith that God is the God of heaven and earth. And he, in verse 25, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This solidifies who our faith should be in, why we should have faith in salvation, Who is salvation? Salvation of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Lamentations, this was before Jesus came. But the writer of this indicates that we are to wait patiently and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And this is where we place our faith. Now, as we moved through Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we move through to Lamentations, and Lamentations tells us that every day, every morning, our faith is to stay steadfast on God, in Jesus, focused on Him. Now let's look at David's faith. Let's look at what David did and how he exemplified faith in God. So let's move to 2 Samuel. And we're going to start in chapter 5. And I'm going to read starting at verse 1. So if you get your tablets or your devices and go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, and I'm going to read in verse 1. And I think I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. The NIV. Verse 1. All the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people, Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed King David over Israel. Now, he had already been anointed by the prophet Samuel, but now here David becomes king over Israel, so they anointed him to be over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned over all of Israel and Judah 33 years. Verse 6. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites. He lived there. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." They thought, now here we go. Listen to what it says. They thought David cannot get in here. Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. On that day, David said, "Anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind, who are David's enemies. That is why they say the blind and the lame will not enter the palace." David had took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it. When the supporting terrace, from the supporting terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful, because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Now, that's very important. He became more and more powerful. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Now, think about faith and think about his vision. His vision is tunnel. Remember, David's reputation is a man after God's own heart, according to 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. His integrity, his integrity is right before God. But keep in mind, and he became more and more powerful. Now, when our vision is in panoramic view, then we focus on the man, the leader, the judicial system, and we see pride, self-centeredness, arrogance, me, myself, and I, and that causes us to become fearful, uncertain, worried, lost, stressed. The difference between the two. So we have to maintain with what David maintained, a boy that was chased by the former king, Saul. And yes, he was fearful, but he never lost sight. His faith remained deposited in God. And because of that, God blessed him. He made him more and more powerful, because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Now, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, along with cedar logs and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built a palace for David. This is the favor of God upon him. God brought in provision for him. And David knew that the Lord had established him as king. David knew this, over Israel, and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people. David knew this, but he didn't become prideful, self-centered, arrogant as the leaders in this world today. This particular leader, King David, although he was a king, he was focused. He was tender. He had a heart that was true, and he was in the tunnel vision of God. After he left Hebron, David took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem, and more sons and daughters were born to him. These are the names of the children born to him there. Now, I'm going to move on down to verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, now the Philistines are his enemies. We'll look at those as his adversaries. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had came and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired. Verse 19 is the perfect verse concerning faith right here. Verse 19, this is what King David did. So David inquired of his friends, of his sidekicks, of his people that he might consider their opinions. No, he did not. David inquired of the Lord. This is the discipline of believers in Christ Jesus. This is what we should be doing. Inquiring of the Lord. This is what David asked. shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? Simple and plain, David asked God, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And will you hand them over to me? Is what he's asking. The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David went to Baal, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Amen. David and his men carried everything off. But I love the way that it says, David inquired the Lord in verse 23. So David inquired the Lord. He answered, do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the Baal trees. Soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, move quickly. Don't teeter-totter. Don't procrastinate. Don't fumble around. God told him to move quickly. So now, when we are in a dilemma, when we are being tested and our faith is being stretched, do we worry with fear or are we to move quickly? Regardless of what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, do we hesitate, procrastinate? We move quickly so that our focus will remain strong and steadfast in God. That's tunnel vision. But when we do like Peter did, when he got out of the boat and Jesus told him to come forth, told him to walk on the water. And when he had tunnel vision, his focus was on Jesus and Jesus alone. But when that brother took his sight off of Jesus, he started to sink. And when he got into a situation with his emotions, and a situation of fear and anxiety and not knowing what to do, all he knew how to do was call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, save me. He was in a dire, strait situation. And he only knew how to call on the name of Jesus. He didn't call on his partners in the boat. He called on the one that was in front of him, Jesus and Jesus alone. But your vision has got to stay tunnel, or else we'll get the same kind of consequences as Peter did when he lost focus. He took his eyes off of Jesus. Instead of looking straight, he looked down. Instead of us looking up, we look around. And when we are focused and tunnel vision going up toward the heavens, then we can't fail. So he told David, move quickly. And that's what he's telling you and me, move quickly. Because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So verse 25, David did as the Lord commanded him. How many times do we follow out of obedience what the Lord God has commanded us to do? That is something for you to think about. How many times have I slipped up from not carrying out the command of God through the Holy Spirit that He has already gone before me in that situation, in that circumstance, in that condition? He has already gone before me, God. But when we lose sight and when we hesitate, procrastinate, perpetrate, when we don't do or obey the Spirit of the Lord, then we lose sight. We suffer the consequences of disobedience. We waver in our trust and we call ourselves a failure. Why? Because we were not listening to God. And our faith weakens. Our faith becomes wavering from the left to the right. We become unstable in our judgment because we don't know if that's God's voice. We don't know if that's Satan telling us to do something. But when faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, then we are unmovable, unshakable. Scripture tells us he orders our steps through his word. They are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's tunnel vision. So in verse 25, so David did as the Lord commanded in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 25. So David did as the Lord commanded him. And he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. God did this for David when he maintained focus. And his faith caused him to inquire of him. He did not want to go anywhere or move prematurely. He wanted God to go before him. He wanted to make sure that he was under the submission of God's command. David, his faith, he is a man after God's own heart. And this is the call for brothers and sisters in Christ to maintain our faith. Seek God first. Total focus in him through strong faith, according to what David exemplified. His focus was strong. His focus was God. That's up. And he moved quickly. He obeyed. So he trusted God, and he didn't fail. Now, when our focus is in the panoramic vision, we focus on man, we focus on a judicial system, and they always lie, and they always fail. And their promises are never for sure, solid. They have excuses, and with excuses come consequences. And when we move into a panoramic view, eventually death. Now that we see that the victory was won, of course by God, but David's obedience. And why? Because he had faith. And we see this same habit with Moses when he went to Egypt. He followed God's command. Now, do you follow God's command? Or do you think twice about things? And how am I sure that this is God's voice that I hear? Certainty comes through the scripture. Certainty comes through the very breathing word upon your heart. When we stay out of Scripture, we've lost focus. When we stay out of fellowship with God, we are off focus. We are in the panoramic vision. When we are on the wide road of destruction, then we are in the panoramic view. But when we are on the straight and narrow path, then we are in tunnel vision. Our heart and our mind and our hope is set on God. That's tunnel vision. What comes out of this? We have a leader that will never fail us. We can stand firm, we can stand sure-footed, and we can equip ourselves with the full armor of God. The full armor of God. This is why it's so important for us to maintain, remain, and focus on our faith in the very one who woke you up this morning. The very one who started you on your way. The very one that put food on your table, clothes on your back. The very one that gives you the mobility to inhale and exhale. This is God, the creator of heaven and earth. When our faith, like David, is on the very one who created, then he will lead you down pathways. You will be successful, you will be rewarded, and you will be in joy of experiencing him. Let's look at Scripture. Scripture concerning faith. Let's look at it this way. We know that faith is acquired through hearing, hearing God's small, still voice. Why should we have faith? Faith is the very thing we need to see Jesus face to face. Faith is the very thing that we need to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Faith requires us to enjoy Jesus Christ. Enjoy the benefits of God. Faith. Without faith, we are lost. Meaning eternally lost. Because we can put our faith in man. That's that panoramic window. And we can put our faith in so many other things in the world, in life. But true faith is in Jesus Christ. True faith is the only way to get to heaven. Faith. It is the only doorway to eternal life. True faith. If God created eternity, only through God can we get there. And the way to God is Jesus Christ. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come to the Father but by him. Jesus. This is faith. A lot of people in the world don't understand faith. And some of our brothers and sisters in Christ don't exercise their faith to be great faith. And so those who are stronger in the faith, we have to help our brothers and sisters who are weaker in the faith become strong. And we help them along the way. Help them to understand what Scripture tells us concerning our life, concerning our focus. Perfect vision comes through faith. Perfect vision, aka tunnel vision. This is Jesus Christ. According to Scripture, Hebrew 11:1 says, what is faith? That's a question. It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives us hope. Faith. So now that we know how important faith is to retain tunnel vision, it is our responsibility as children of light, as children of God, as a light in a dark world, that we are to not run around as if there's no hope, wringing our hands, talking about what are we going to do. We've got a new leader in place. What are we going to do? Where is this world going? We're in the wrong window. We need to stay focused in our tunnel vision. We always have hope in Christ Jesus. His promise is true. Scriptures show that he will fight every one of our battles when we inquire of him as David did. David was a man after God's own heart. That should be you and me. A woman or a man after God's own heart. And that requires tunnel vision of faith. Perfect vision. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. He keeps us in perfect peace, that our trust will always be in the one we can trust. Listen to what Scripture says in Joshua 8. So let's flip over to Joshua 8. And this, of course, is in the Old Testament. And Joshua 8, and we're going to read verse 1. The Scriptures is what God uses to breathe upon his children, so that we will not be young, that we can grow and become mature Christians, eating the meat of the word. So concerning faith, listen to what Joshua 8:1 says. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land. You shall do to Ai as its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. So verse 3, Joshua and the whole army moved out to attack Ai. Now, this is, we saw this with King David. Now we see this with Joshua, the one who Moses handed over his staff to carry the children of Israel into the promised land, the land of milk and honey, Canaan. He said, do not be afraid. Now, when we put our vision, our faith in man, then we are afraid. But when we put our faith and our vision in Christ Jesus, God told Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for I have gone ahead of you. Just move quickly. Follow my command. And lastly, we're going to look at 2 Timothy 2, and we're going to start in verse 2. So if you would move over to the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. And it reads this way. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Let me read that again. Let's back up to verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If he died for him, he will also live with him. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen. So if we died with him, salvation, we will also live with him, heaven. If we endure suffering, we will also reign with him eternally. If we disown him, darkness, he will also disown us, hell. If we are faithless, sinful, discouraged, given up, worried, stressed out, lost sight, anxiety, he will remain faithful, saved by grace, for he cannot disown himself. Amen. So these scriptures focusing in on faith, we will continue to expound on this particular point, faith, looking at the scriptures that solidify our faith. As long as we stay faithful, he cannot deny himself. Even when we get wayward in our thoughts or wayward in our speech or even wayward in our actions, God stays faithful. So we just repent of our sin, confess it as sin, and we get up, hold our head up, and we continue to move and press forward. So many of the prophets in the Old Testament stumbled, but we will too. But in our suffering, in our falling and getting back up, he remains faithful. So I'm going to end the broadcast or our lesson at this hour, but I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, never lose faith in the power that holds the very atmospheres, the stars in the sky, the earth on its axle, the heavens where the angels resound and worship him. Always remain faithful in a God who is sovereign and a God who has the whole world in control. Even in dark places, even in dark times, God is in control. So always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, oh yeah, they fade away. But the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you and remain in faith, keeping the full armor of God on. Remain blessed, and we will continue our broadcast and our teaching series, Tunnel Vision versus Panoramic Vision. God bless you.
For top quality floors at rock bottom prices, homeowners and pros choose Floor & Decor.
They're incredible in the design center. I tell them what my vision is and I'll come out of there with a real plan.
The design services are free.
The pro desk is fabulous. If they save me time, they save me money.
They're going to help you find your products. They're going to help you get in and out of here quickly.
These guys are experts.
I'm a general contractor and this is my store.
Floor & Decor makes my job incredibly easy.
Floor & Decor. For a store near you, visit FloorAndDecor.com.